ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो 57 चैप्टर एंटाइटल सत्रजीत मर्डर्ड द ज्यूवेल रिटर्न टेक्स 19।
गरुड़ध्वजमारुह्य रथम रामजनार्दनौ अन्वयाता महावेगये अश्वैराजन् गुरुद्रुहम्। गरुड़ध्वजमारुह्य रथम रामजनार्दनौ अन्वयाता महावेगये अश्वैराजन् गुरुद्रुहम्। गरुड़ध्वजमारुह्य रथम रामजनार्दनौ अन्वयाता महावेगये अश्वैराजन् गुरुद्रुहम्। गरुड़ध्वजम् आरुह्य रामजनार्दनौ अन्वयाता महावेगये अश्वैराजन् गुरुद्रुहम्। गरुड़ध्वजम् आरुह्य रामजनार्दनौ याता महावेगये अश्वैराजन् गुरुद्रुहम्। गरुड़ध्वजमारुह्य रथम रामजनार्दनौ अन्वयाता महावेगये राजगुरुद्रुहम्।
मताजीस गरुड़ध्वजम हैविंग द एम्ब्लेम ऑफ गरुड़ा ऑन इट्स फ्लैग आरुह्य माउंटिंग रथम द चैरियट राम बलराम जनार्दनव एंड कृष्ण अन्वायाताम फॉलोड महावेगैः वेरी स्विफ्ट अश्वैः बाय हॉर्सेस राजन ओ किंग परीक्षित गुरु to their superior Satrajit their father-in-law. Truham the committer of violence. Translation by disciples of His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear King Krishna and Balaram mounted Krishna's chariot which flew the flag of Garuda and was yoked with tremendously swift horses and pursued their elder's murderer. There is no purport, so we read the translation of the next few verses. Text 20. In a garden on the outskirts of Mithila, the horse Shatadhanma was riding collapsed. Terrified, he abandoned the horse and began to flee on foot with Krishna in angry pursuit. Text 21. As Shatadhanma fled on foot, the Supreme Lord, also going on foot, cut off his head with his sharp-edged disc. The Lord then searched Shatadhanva's upper and lower garments for Samantaka jewel. Text 22. Not finding the jewel, Lord Krishna went to his elder brother and said, "We have killed Shatadharma uselessly. The jewel isn't here." Text 23. To this, Lord Balaram replied, "Indeed, Shatadharma must have placed the jewel in the care of someone. You should return to our city and find that person."
Aham vaideham icchami drashtum priyatamam mama ityuktva mithilam rajan vivesha yadunandanaha.
I wish to visit King Videha, who is most dear to me. O King, having said this, Lord Balaram, the beloved descendant of Yadu, entered the city of Mithila. Purport. Krishna and Balaram had finally caught up with Shatadharma on the outskirts of Mithila. Since the king of this city was a dear friend of Balaram's, the Lord decided to enter the city and spend some time there.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrunda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, at the outset, I solicit blessings of all senior Vaishnavas and exalted brahmacharis sitting in this audience. I don't really deserve this opportunity to speak on this exalted subject, but I'll make an attempt since this service has been given to me. So, in this chapter and also the previous chapter, we read about so many human frailties. So many frailties. For example, we read about greed, anger, envy, slander, defamation, conspiracies, theft, mind-boggling chases on horses. So many things. Very, very exciting things. And for what purpose? All for getting the possession of Syamantaka jewel. Now, I'm sure if some Bollywood producers were to read some of these matter, they will produce a number of films on the subject matter. Anyway, so in his purport to the verse, Name Viduhu Suraganaha Prabhavam Na Maharshaya, Srila Prabhupada comments, he says that even the demigods and great sages cannot understand Krishna. They can understand neither his name nor his personality. So what is the position of the so-called scholars of this tiny planet? No one can understand why this supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna, comes to earth as an ordinary human being and executes such wonderful, uncommon activity. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when He descends, Manushim Tanum Ashritah, when He comes in the human form, He does such extraordinary activities which are really bewildering. So people are not able to connect His bewildering divine pastimes with the person as a human being. So it's very, very confusing to people. Then, in another purport, Srila Prabhupada says, asks a question. He says that, how is it that educated philosophers, scientists, businessmen and administrators and all the leaders of ordinary men do not surrender to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, the all-powerful personality of Godhead? So this question comes to mind, that how come that people who should know better do not do this? Now, we are reading about the pastimes of Lord Krishna with Satyajit and other people. Now, Satyajit is actually potentially father-in-law of Sri Krishna, and we cannot classify him as a mudha, as Bhagavad Gita does, but at the same time, we can identify the number of wrong things that he did. Now, first we'll recount a few. First of all, how is it that Satyajit did not accept Krishna as the Supreme Person when he knew and saw for himself that the magnificent city of Dwarka was created overnight? Now, anybody with some, you know, modicum of sense would understand that this is an extraordinary supernatural event which only the Lord could have done. But Satyajit does not worry on this account at all. Then yes, Satyajit was a great devotee of the sun god, a friend of his, as some people say, who gave him the Samantaka jewel. And when Krishna asked Satyajit to hand over the jewel to the ruler of the kingdom, Ugrasen, he refused. Now, when a great personality like Lord Krishna gives a bit of advice, if a person like Satyajit doesn't accept it, he's going to suffer, as we will see later. So, Satyajit somehow or the other failed to recognize the divinity of Lord Krishna. But instead, he worshipped very, very elaborately. Whom? The Samantaka Mani. He kept it in a special, you know, room and arranged for a priest to worship. So he went through so much. But somehow or the other, he could not recognize the divinity of the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is the source of everything, including the Samantaka Mani, for which he is, you know, struggling. Anyway, another problem is that though Satyajit did not give jewel to Ugrasen, he very, I would not say foolishly, but mistakenly, handed it over to his brother, Prasena, without so much as batting an eyelid. Without any hesitation, he just passed it on. One who refused it to the king of Dwarka, he just passed it on to his brother. And what did the brother do? He wore the Samantaka jewel on his neck, and he was on a horse. He rode a horse, and then he went for hunting. What was the purpose? He wanted to flaunt his jewel. But then it so happened that he flaunted his jewel in front of a lion. The lion got attracted to the jewel and killed the horse and killed Prasena. Both were killed. And then what happened? The jewel, the lion was killed by a bear, Jambavan in this case, of Ramayana fame. He was killed by him. And then the jewel just disappeared from sight. Now what was the fifth mistake which Satyajit committed? Without even a shred of evidence, just because Prasena did not return from his hunting expedition, he actually started saying that Krishna must have killed his brother Prasena. For what? For getting the Samantaka jewel. So, normally to make an accusation, you require some shred of evidence, something to go by. He had nothing. He just went on, you know, accusing like that. And then what happened? This particular news, you know, spread like wildfire. Now, the rumor mongers, it seems there were rumor mongers even in Dwarka. One cannot associate this, but the rumor mongers, you know, they started spreading the message that, you know, Krishna has, you know, stolen the Samantaka money, and for that purpose, you know, he has killed Prasena. So this news became very, very prominent. So it is really amazing how the very people who admired the activities of Lord Krishna started suspecting him. Of course, this is the orchestration of Krishna himself, but this happened. Now Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So he did not believe in armchair rebuttal, you know, sitting, you know, rebutting everything as it happens in current scenario, you know. Some people are accused of some crime, something that, and then, you know, for days on together, it gets dragged on in the newspapers and in the courts, rebuttals, this, that goes on. But Krishna didn't believe in all this. What he did? And nor did he take the position that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So let barking dogs, you know, let them keep barking. Let people criticize me. I am not bothered. I am going to not worry about it. He didn't take that position either. So what position did he take? He said that, you know, let me go and investigate, which is what Satyajit should have done himself. But Lord goes there, he starts looking, and he follows, accepts the same path which Prasena had followed. He goes by the same route. So something like, you know, Sherlock Holmes investigating some, you know, mysteries. Krishna just follows the path, and within no time it is established that Prasena and his horse have been killed by a lion, and the lion in turn has been killed by a bear, in this case Jambavan, whose marks are there on the body. And then the path leads to a very dark and dingy, you know, cave where Krishna goes in. Now Krishna does something very intelligent. While going, he takes some of the gossip mongers also with him, and also some other Dwarkavasis. So they wait outside. They wait outside, and Krishna says, "You wait here, I'll go inside." And Krishna goes inside the cave, and what does he see? He sees a boy, I believe his name was Sukumar. He sees this Sukumar, you know, playing with Samantaka jewel. He sees him playing. Now, to Sukumar, the son of Jambavan, and to Jambavan himself also, this Samantaka jewel had no value. It was just like a toy for him. Just like a toy. Now, he did not give it any higher, you know, status than of its being a toy with which he could play around. Just as children play with a ball, you know. So he thought it would be that. So neither boy nor Jambavan knew the value of Samantaka jewel. So, in this context, I would like to talk about a story, which His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj had narrated to us some time back, long ago, when he did a sort of a seminar on the holy name, Harinam. You know, he did a seminar long ago. So, in that seminar also, there was a talk about a jewel. Now, His Grace Baldev Prabhu has narrated quite a few stories about jewels. So, one more addition to the story of jewels. So, what happened was, what Chila, His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj narrated was that there was a sadhaka, an aspirant for spirituality. He was serving a spiritual master. So, the spiritual master told him that you start chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He told him, you start chanting it, your life will be successful. Now this mantra is very, very precious. It is secret in the sense sacred. It's very sacred Maha Mantra. You just start chanting it, and you'll be successful in your quest for spirituality. Now, the disciple was very much impressed, and he said, he paid his obeisances and he went out of the ashram. And then he was walking on the road. Then as he was walking on the road, he saw that there were some boys, you know. They were playing throw ball, you know, throw ball. And as they were playing throw ball, they were also chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So this disciple got somewhat bewildered. Now my guru said that this is a very, very important mantra. Then why, how come these boys are chanting this Maha Mantra, you know. And while playing, they are chanting it. So he didn't say anything, he just went ahead. When he went ahead, he saw that there were some village women, you know, and they were washing clothes. Now, when you wash clothes, normally, you know, you take a wooden kind of a handle or wooden, you know, plank, and you beat the clothes, isn't it? You hammer the clothes. That was the old style. Now, this was before the advent of washing machines. So, we are not talking about washing machines. So, they were just beating. We all do it. Either we, you know, do this action or we beat it and remove all the dirt. So, it's a forceful way of removing dirt from clothes, you know, by beating it. So, they were doing it. And as the women were doing, they were chanting Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra. Now, this disciple got even more bewildered. He said that, no, it's not so uncommon, it seems, everybody chanting. Then he went a little ahead and he saw a fisherman. He was fishing. And as he was fishing, he was also chanting Hare Krishna. According to the disciple, this was too much. So he came back. He came back to his guru. And he said that, offered his obeisances and said that, Guru Maharaj, you had said that this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is something uncommon and life-saving, this, that. But I find it's quite common. So many people are chanting it. Then the Guru Maharaj said, he said that, now, he gave him a precious stone. That's the story I'm talking about. He gave a precious stone to the disciple, fairly big one. Then he said that, now you go back to those boys, you go back to those women, and you go back to that fisherman, and offer them this jewel, and ask them what they will do with it if they get it. So the disciple went ahead, he went out of the ashram, he went, and then he first went and encountered the boys. He asked the boys, now, supposing, you know, I give you this jewel to play with, what will you do with it? They said, we'll use it as a ball, you know, instead of using this rubber ball, you know, we'll throw it and we'll play the throw ball, instead of the ball, we'll play with the diamond. So, the shishya took back the diamond and he went ahead to the women who were washing clothes. He said that, supposing I give you this diamond, what are you going to do with it? They said that instead of using this wooden plank, you know, we will use this diamond, you know, to beat the clothes with. The disciple went ahead to the fisherman. He said that, you know, I will use this, you know, you use some kind of a bait, you know, for, you know, attracting fish. He said that I will use it on my fishing rod, you know, to attract the fish. So he took the jewel back from him also. And he went back to his Guru Maharaj. And Guru Maharaj asked him, what was your experience? So he narrated the experience. And then Guru Maharaj said that none of these people were, you know, knew the price or the worth of the jewel. Had they known it, they would have not taken these things so casually. Similarly, people do chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but very often they do it, take it very casually, very lightly. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is something most precious in the world. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalav Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatiranatha. It is Nama Chintamani. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. It is so full of joy, it's so full of transcendental things. So people at large do not recognize it. But one, a disciple who chants this holy name, he should understand the sheer magnitude and sheer grandeur of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So the disciple was fully satisfied and he walked out. So coming back to our story, so this boy, Sukumar, the son of Jambavan, he was just playing with the Samantaka money. And Krishna was very happy that he had at last located. Because this was the only way, you know, the accusation that was made against him could be vindicated. So he had to take the Samantaka jewel back to... And so therefore, he was about to take it from the boy. Then Jambavan came. And Jambavan, the same character from Ramayana, you know. So he came and he saw that some stranger, that's what it seemed to him then, that he's taking, you know, taking away the jewel which I had given to my son. So he was very angry. Now, ideally when a third party enters your home or something, you normally ask the person, who are you? Why have you come? No questions were asked by Jambavan. He became so angry. He was so much attached to the idea that the jewel that had been given to his son should not be, you know, just, it's not trivial, something he should play with. So he became very angry and he straight away started fighting with Krishna. And Krishna likes this Virarasa, he likes to fight also. For a long time, you know, since he had, you know, we read about the transcendental fights which Krishna had with his devotees. So he had had no fight for a long time, so he also fought with him. And it is recommended, they suggested that the fight went on for 28 days. Very, very fierce fighting between the people, first with weapons and then with, you know, trees and then, you know, hand-to-hand combat. And as the fight was going on, Jambavan was becoming weaker and weaker and weaker, whereas the Lord, you know, was not disturbed at all, Lord Krishna. So Jambavan then recognized that anyone who can stand up to me and fight with me so fiercely for 28 days must not be an ordinary person. He must be my Supreme Lord, Prabhu Ramchandra only. And then he surrendered to Krishna, said that, I now realize that you are not an ordinary personality, you are the Supreme Lord Himself, you are my Lord, Lord Ram. So he surrendered to him. He not only gave the Samantaka jewel to Krishna, but he also gave his daughter Jamavanti in marriage to him. So this is how. So meantime, the people who were waiting outside the cave, they couldn't wait for 28 days. After 12 days, you know, they went back. They went back to the kingdom, went back to Ugrasen's kingdom, and there they reported that this bear, you know, had made short work of Krishna. Krishna is no more alive. So this put everybody into misery. Devaki and all others, you know, Vasudeva, everybody was in great misery. All the relatives became miserable. And they said that this Satrajit is the cause of all misery in our lives. And just as, you know, they were lamenting, Krishna arrives on the scene. In a very dramatic way, he arrives on the scene with Jambavanti. And everybody is happy and thrilled and there are celebrations. That's how it happened. So, now, when Krishna and Balaram, they were, both of them, somehow or the other, I get the feeling when I read this, that Balaram is not so much excited about this Samantaka jewel, but Lord Krishna is for the right reason, for valid reasons. So anyway, when the Samantaka jewel was recovered, Krishna said that I will hand this over to Satrajit, not, you know, in privacy, but he'll hand it over in the court of Ugrasen. So next day a big meeting was convened, and in presence of the king and in presence of all the people, Krishna handed over the Samantaka jewel to Satrajit. Now Satrajit realized that he had committed a huge blunder, and he was very, very depressed and sorry that, you know, he had accused of all people Lord Krishna, you know, of stealing the Samantaka jewel. So he was miserable. He thought, let me follow the example of Jambavan and, you know, offer the Samantaka jewel to Krishna and then also offer my daughter Satyabhama to him, which he did. And it is described that Satyabhama had love for the Supreme Lord right from her childhood. That's what Vishwarupa Prabhu the other day went into great length to describe, how Satyabhama, you know, loved Krishna. So it was a desirable thing that happened. In fact, it seems as though Krishna orchestrated the events for this specific purpose of, you know, marrying Jambavanti and Satyabhama. Anyway, so the thing came back and Satyajit, you know, offered the Samantaka jewel to Krishna. Krishna did not accept the Samantaka jewel. He accepted the Kanya Ratna and he did not accept the other Ratna. So it went back. So this way, what happened was that in the meantime, when Krishna and Balaram were required to go to Hastinapur to offer their condolences to the Kuru Shrestas headed by Bhishma, Gandhari and others, and Duryodhan and others, because it had been learnt that Pandavas had been burnt in house of Lakh, you know. So Lakshagraha, in that they have all been burnt, they have all been destroyed. So Krishna and Balaram, both of them, they went there and they offered their condolences. And when there, Krishna actually, like man of the world, you know, he cried there. That's what Vishwarupa Prabhu was saying, that he cried in the palace. He expressed his grief just like a commoner would do. Oh, such wonderful men, you know, the Pandavas have been killed. That way he expressed his misery. Now, while Krishna and Balaram were away in Hastinapur, there was a conspiracy. What was the conspiracy? The conspiracy was that this diamond, Samantaka, should be stolen. Stolen from Satyajit, and Satyajit should be massacred, it should be killed. That was the conspiracy. And who were the perpetrators of this particular plan? None other than Akrura, than Krutavarma. Shatadhanma. These are the three people who were involved in this. So, now, Akrura is a spiritually enlightened person. We really do not understand, you know, how Akrura gets involved. And also, so also Krutadharma. They were devotees. And Prabhupada, in his Krishna book, gives reasons, comments, why, you know, Akrura, the devotee of the Lord, participated. He says that Akrura and Krutavarma joined the conspiracy because they wanted the jewel for Krishna. It's not that they wanted it themselves, they wanted it for Krishna. But the means that they adopted were, of course, quite violent. So Akrura was a great devotee, but because he wounded the feelings of Rajavadus, you know, while he took them away, therefore this particular, you know, he got involved in this conspiracy. Prabhupada writes that similarly Krutavarma, who was a devotee, because of his intimate association with Kamsa, he also was involved in a sinful activity and therefore he got involved in this conspiracy. This way, one can find explanation. The acharyas give you explanation why a particular thing, you know, has taken place in a given way. And as far as Shatadharma is concerned, Shukdev Goswami describes him as Asattama, a basically evil-minded person who actually wanted to marry Satyabhama. So he had this grudge against this person, Satyajit, and therefore he wanted to participate in that conspiracy. So as this Shatadharma went to the palace, he was the one, the chosen one to murder. So he went to the palace of Satyajit, and there he mercilessly killed Satyajit and he took the Samantaka jewel from him. He stole it from him and went back. Now, this became known to Satyabhama, who obviously lamented very much because Krishna was away, she was quite helpless, and in that situation this murder had taken place. So she lamented, she kept the body, as is described in the previous verses, she kept the body of her father in oil, preserved it, and then she went to Hastinapur. And when she went to Hastinapur, she reported the matter to Krishna. Krishna once again cried. So two occasions when he cried. Once he cried when the news of Pandava's death came. The second occasion, you know, was when he heard about his father-in-law dying. So obviously they had to take some, you know, bold steps to avenge this killing. So, therefore, Krishna and Balaram, along with Satyabhama, they came back. They came back to Dwarka. And from then onwards, the story proceeds further. So, upon understanding that Krishna now was determined to kill Shatadharma, Shatadharma became panicky. So he became very panicky, he became very nervous. So he went and approached Krutavarma. He said that, will you please help me, you know, now that you know I am involved. You asked me to be a part of the conspiracy, but now you know I am implicated, I am going to be killed by Krishna. Why don't you save me? So Krutavarma said that, don't you know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord? I simply dare not oppose him. So forget it, you know, I am not going to help you. Similarly, approach Akrura. Akrura said that, I also cannot help you. I cannot save you from Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Don't you know that when he was just 7 years old, you know, he picked up the Govardhan mountain on the little finger of his left hand. He's so powerful. I dare not help you. So this way, both of them, you know, extricated themselves from helping this Shatadharma. They were a part of the conspiracy, all right, but not to such an extent that they would go out of the way and endanger their lives to help Shatadharma. So then Shatadharma had no resort. He thought that a wise thing would be, you know, to hand over the jewel to Akrura and then run away from there. So they ran away from there. That's how. So today we are reading how Shatadharma took a swift horse, you know, and then he ran away. He started proceeding towards Mithila. And we are reading in today's verses that how Krishna and Balaram, both of them, you know, now wanted to chase after. This is one of the biggest chases. So they took again, you know, horses which are very, very swift, just as Shatadharma had done. So they chased after this cruel personality. And it is described here that it is Rajan Guru Druham. Krishna considered Shatadharma to be Guru Druham. Guru Druham means one, you know, who has killed an elder. Guru in this context is an elder. So this Shatadharma has had the audacity to kill an elder, in this case my father-in-law, Satrajit. So he deserves to be killed. According to the Shastra, any such, you know, action against the elders, that needs to be, you know, punished. And the punishment in this case is death. So Krishna was angry with Shatadharma, and both of them now started following. Krishna and Balaram, both of them started following Shatadharma. Now Shatadharma's horse had galloped at a very, very fast pace, and it is described that in a garden on the outskirts of Mithila, the horse Shatadharma was riding collapsed. The horse could not take it anymore. He had run for such a long distance, and his heart must have given away. Horses also must be having heart. So he just, you know, collapsed. He died. And Shatadharma abandoned. He simply abandoned the horse. And he now started running on foot. Now, Krishna and Balaram were very close. They saw Shatadharma's horse, you know, lying dead. And they started also chasing. Now, because Shatadharma was not in a chariot, Krishna and Balaram, according to the Kshatriya code of, you know, warfare, they also both got down from the chariot, as is described here. We got down, and Balaram remained somewhat in the background, and Krishna, you know, started chasing Shatadharma. Krishna went ahead, and Shatadharma was running, and Krishna was running after him. For some time, some distance was covered, and then Krishna said, enough is enough. And with his, you know, Sudarshan Chakra, he beheaded Shatadharma. Now, having beheaded Shatadharma, the next logical thing was to search for the belongings. You know, what? So, Krishna went through the clothing which Shatadharma was wearing. Because since he has run so much, he has come so far, surely he could be carrying the diamond within his pocket. That is what anybody, common man, would think. Now, it is described by the acharyas that Krishna knew very well that the jewel was not with Shatadhanva. Then the question arises, why did Krishna go through this particular exercise? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, though Krishna, being omniscient, knew that Akrura had the jewel, he made a show of searching for it in order to confuse Balaram, who was observing from a distance. By doing this, Krishna was able to separate himself from Balaram so that Balaram could give mercy to his pure devotee, King Bahulaswa. So it looks as if that Balaram's heart is not in this particular thing. I'm too small a man to speculate on this. But what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying, that Krishna at this point in his pastime wanted to be little distance, you know, away from Balaram. And he was actually so, he was away. And he comes back to Balaram after searching the clothing of Shatadhanva. He comes back to Balaram and tells him, it seems that we have wasted our time, you know. The jewel is not in his clothing. So Baldev, he responds in a very rational way. He says that if it is so, then it's logical to think that the diamond is not here at all. It must have been left where, from where we came. So then he says that, you please, now you go after. He says that, you know, I want to stay in this place for some more time, you know, because he says that, I wish to visit King Videha, who is most dear to me. So it seems as if the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he comments that Balaramji expressed his desire to remain in Mithila for some more time, all because Krishna wanted that he could give his, you know, love to Bahulaswa, the King Bahulaswa there, who was a resident of, you know, Mithila. So this way, Balaram, in one sense, it seems as if, you know, he was somewhat put off by Krishna's actions. It seems like that. It's my speculation and I may be corrected. So Balaram didn't take so much interest. He said that, all right, now that you have not found the jewel in the clothing of the man whom you have killed, so logical to think that the jewel must be back home at, you know, Dwarka. So you go back to Dwarka, and find the jewel and give it to your beloved. That's it. That's what he says. And therefore, it is said here that Balaram, Krishna and Balaram had finally caught up with Shatadhanva on the outskirts of Mithila. And since the king of the city was a dear friend of Balaram, the Lord decided to enter the city and spend some time there. So Baldev decided to continue. So Baldev continued in Mithila for, it is later on it will be described perhaps, that he continued there for almost 7 years. And during those 7 years, so many other events occurred, including Duryodhana was trained in Gada Yuddha by Baldev. So many events took place. So there is a bewildering array of, you know, things happening in these chapters. And Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can say that he has orchestrated the events. And we can say also that Krishna is playing the role of a human being very perfectly. He is showing grief when somebody, you know, he hears the news of somebody dying. And when revenge is to be taken, he takes revenge also. So one may think that he is really perfect in anything and everything that he does. And that's Krishna all over. So Hare Krishna, I think I should conclude. The time is also up. Anybody has any comments or anything to say, please feel free. Radha Gopinath Prabhu, would you like to add something to what I have said? Srimad Bhagavat Puranam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.